RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Oh, I was chatting with Ali off air, and Dave yelled out, you're on. Thank you, Dave. Joining us this morning, this is not the intro I was hoping for, but here we go. Ali Cook, musician, New Zealand Outdoors and Freedom Party board member, here to talk about pharmaceutical advertising. I think in the world there's only, in the wealthy countries anyway, the US and us who do that. Also, it is the anniversary of the day that the country was officially divided by vaccine status. And now, Ali, they're going after the chickens.
I know. And it just when you were talking about that when we were off air, I was just thinking about they pump this foam through the houses. That's how they kill them. And it's just horrible. You can see them.
Oh, they smother them, do they?
Oh, it's terrible. Poison them. Yeah. And, you know, well, I'm vegetarian. So, and, you know, that's by choice. And I have been for many, many, many years. So you can imagine how I feel about that. And I don't feel very good about it.
Though I suspect that those who are in command of this are feeling great about it.
Oh,
this is their time
just
in the sun again, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, well that's just it. I mean, I haven't seen the thing about them slaughtering this morning because obviously that was decided yesterday because they had just quarantined off the one chicken or whatever that they found it in, but clearly they've decided to get rid of them all this morning.
What do they call them? Patient zero, that's chicken zero. All right?
Yeah. Well, that's a whole lot of chickens that won't be on the market, eh?
No, well, there goes the poultry thing probably for a long time.
Yeah.
All right, and I just want to reply to a text that's come in that says, hey, Paul, love your casual misogyny this morning. Is that because I said in the Wilms report that women's behaviour was getting quite bad these days? Is that misogyny? I think it's quite accurate, actually. And then a few low blows to immigrants as well. Well, telling somebody to go back to their country of origin isn't necessarily racist. It's factual, all right?
So that's just, right.
Yeah, just replying to that. So sensitive. All right, let's talk about this. Get on to the petition. Let's talk about this anniversary today. I think it's probably, what, the third anniversary. The country was officially divided by vaccine status. Dark days, Ali.
Really dark days, bad memories. And the thing is that people go, oh, COVID's over, you know. Well, as the listeners know and you know, I have a vaccine-injured son, so it's never over for us. And also people whose families have been divided apart. And there are people out there still with families divided apart, not talking to each other, just what this government actually did. And I recall making a complaint to the Media Council about Jacinda's husband, who'd come on here and said, "Don't let anyone come to your Christmas who's not vaccinated," and all that. You know,
was that Clark?
Yeah,
because he was so qualified to say anything, wasn't he?
So invisible lately, too, eh?
Well, wouldn't you be?
Anyway,
wouldn't you be?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I'd be filing for divorce.
It was that whole thing of just, you know, encouraging to bust families up. I mean, what planet were they on?
Well, they were on that planet. That's what they wanted to do. That is the inescapable conclusion. I'm sorry.
Yeah, division of families, though, is just like, Anyway.
All right.
We fight on, we push on, and, you know, and that's what we do. And, I mean, and that's, you know, and that's what this petition's about, is just pushing on in another angle, really.
It was so cringy. I lived in Auckland at the time, and I used to walk along the viaduct because I had nothing else to do. There was nowhere else to go. And I was one of those essential workers, you know, so I could say that I was an essential worker. And I watched, I'll never forget the image, mainly older women, I would have to say, desperately fumbling in their bags to get their phone out, to scan their QR code, to get into the restaurant. It was just horrible to watch.
Tell you what I did, Paul, I just did selfies when I went in the supermarket. Held it up and took a selfie and then walked.
I got to say, I did buckle on masks because I was hungry, but after a while I let that go too. But just seeing the desperation, you know, people desperately hanging on to what they think is normal life.
That's brainwashing.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's what it is.
Don't want to remember it too much more. Isn't it interesting that New Zealand and the United States, and I was in the US earlier this year, and oh my God, the phalanx, is that the word, of pharma advertising. It's just mind-blowing. Every single ad break is for something.
And program brought to you by.
Yeah. And for things I didn't even know you could get. You know, they invent things. Yeah. Now, it was quite a while ago that New Zealand allowed the general advertising, widespread advertising through media of pharmaceutical medicines, right? Ages ago.
Yes, unrestricted. And that's the thing. We've always been, and this is what I say to people, we've always been the testing ground for everything. We were the first to get the hole in the wall. We were first to be able to pull cash out of a money machine. And also, a friend of mine who was an ambulance officer, I remember him telling me years ago that he noticed that with people that were coming in with heart conditions, saying, they go, oh, we've got this new drug that we're trying out. We've been the testing ground for pharmaceuticals for a long, long time because we're a isolated audience, but isolated population.
Population of mugs, yeah.
Isolated population that with no borders, and so therefore it's an easy place to. And it's the same with Facebook. When Facebook was developing, we would be the first in the world to try new changes to the timeline on Facebook, etc.
They probably designed all their censoring software on us.
Yeah, they probably did. We have been the experimental ground for a lot of things for a lot of years. So pharmaceutical advertising only happens unrestricted in New Zealand and in Australia. And so there's a two-prong thing to it, isn't there? There's the pharmaceutical advertising that it's advertising pharmaceuticals to ordinary citizens who aren't doctors instead of them going and discussing their issue with a doctor. So there's that side of it that it's inappropriate. It's coming between the doctor and the patient. And then the other side is the control of media, which I'm more interested in. Because I think that that's one of the things that...
Because that's big advertising dollars, and who's spending the money dictates the programming ultimately, yeah.
And it does affect programming, and I discovered that years ago when I was working supporting vaccine-injured children who had been vaccine-injured by their childhood vaccine. So I've been in this fight a long time, and I recall one child that turned 16 and he was wheelchair bound, and they did a story on him, and it was either 60 Minutes or 2020, one of those type programs, our current affairs thing. And basically they did the whole filming. They came to this kid's birthday, they filmed, they talked about the story and everything, and then the producer rang the mother, and the mother came to the rest of us who were all in the group and said, hey, they're not going to screen it. And I said, well, did you ask why? And they said, yeah, the producer said the Ministry of Health said that they didn't want it screened because it would put people off their DPT vaccine. So the actual, you know, and back in those days, perhaps they were more honest with the people that they were dealing with, which was in this case the mother that they'd been into their home and filmed. So, you know, they were doing this a long time ago. Yeah.
Fancy that, the Ministry of Health being able to dictate what goes on a current affairs show. Well, I'm not surprised, but it was happening a long time ago. So you've created a petition.
Yeah. So basically it's to ban pharmaceutical advertising. So, I mean, that's putting the pressure on at our end, I guess, because I would, at a guess, providing that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. becomes the new head of Health and Human Services in the United States, and with the other doctor that's Jay, whose last name escapes me.
Bhattacharya.
Yeah, that's it, who's become the FDA. I'd say there's NIH, a really good chance. NIH. I'd say there's a really good chance that they'll ban pharmaceutical advertising.
Well,
that
will kill the cable news networks.
Correct. And so that's that will leave us as the only country in the world that allows unrestricted pharmaceutical advertising direct to consumer, which would give it a more powerful thing as well at that point. So I thought, this is a good time to be running this petition, and we need lots of signatures. Now, there's two petitions that are running out there now. One is to reveal the Pfizer contract. That's Kirsten Murfitt's petition, and there's mine with the banned pharmaceutical companies, so the advertising. So I think if you haven't signed those petitions, get along and do it, share it, you know, get it out there, because that's two things that we need to happen. We need that Pfizer contract released. We need to know what the government signed us up to, and we need to stop pharmaceutical advertising, which will actually put a significant dent in the New Zealand mainstream media as well.
Yeah, well, how much is... And it's good to be doing this on the anniversary of the traffic light system, by the way. That's very well timed. Yes. But they make, our mainstream media, make quite a bit of money out of this, don't they? Millions.
They do it. It's, I think, $23.9 million was given to Television New Zealand via an OIA. And that's just the TV. That's not including billboards and social media and all of that. So you can expect several million more.
On a government-owned, taxpayer-owned platform. What?
Yeah. And the other thing is, and I think that that was actually, I'd have to go back and look, but I think when they did the Public Journalism Fund, that was affecting... It was affecting what was inside news time. They were buying time that was inside news time. So, like, normally you're buying your 30-second ads that go between the news, or the news that goes between the 30-second ads, as we've always said in the business.
Yeah.
So, you know, the ads are everything in radio and television. You know, people need to understand that, first of all. But, yeah, so that, but then they were actually encroaching, and some of the money that they were actually giving them was for during the actual broadcast.
Yeah, story
time.
Placements.
Yeah.
And it wasn't declared.
And it wasn't declared, that's
sneaky
right.
Sneaky little worms.
Yeah, sneaky little things. So if you stop the advertising of pharmaceutical, you know, that will kind of help, that will help bring that down, you know, like, well, it would help perhaps bring some honesty back. And I'm starting to see little flinches of it now. I think they know the end is nigh with the latest COVID, you know, the new COVID inquiry and the first one, phase one. I think that brought out a little bit more than they were expecting.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because the normie media, I mean, there was Heather Duplessis Allen, you know, trying to pin Hipkins down for an apology, though where's her apology, I got to say.
Yes.
And you know, a few people.
Yeah, Ryan Bridges was the other one where I thought he came very, very close to an apology, kind of. He admitted, and that's including us, I think, were his words
as
well.
Yeah, I heard his piece. But I want to hear an actual apology. Sorry.
Oh, we absolutely need one. But I think, you know, that'll come with phase two. And people, you know, out there as well, don't think that, you know, if you're not really the person that does submissions or whatever, you know, I really want you to write your experiences down now. Maybe over Christmas is a good time to do it. And then in the new year, they'll be announcing the phase two public submissions. And please, everybody, even if it's just a paragraph of what happened to you, what happened to your family, what you went through, please submit. Please submit to those commissioners and let them know what you went through.
I'm fascinated with what could be the outcome of this phase two. Because
it's
going to be a shock. It's going to be an elevator ride to the basement floor in no time at all for a lot of people, and quite a hard landing. It has the potential, for a while anyway, to kind of rip us more to pieces. We will see, but it has that potential.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident about that. I've had some correspondence with Grant Illingworth because my first petition that many people on RCR signed, which was to ban, which was to calling for a Royal Commission of Inquiry into the vaccine safety and efficacy, that my petition got basically put off onto phase two. So I sent the 1,600 pages or 16 supplementary document links on the parliamentary website to Grant Illingworth. And I couldn't get to him through the COVID thing. So I just, you know, Buffalo Girls go around the outside. I found his email address and I just emailed him directly with the links and said, you know, my petition work is now in your hands. Here is the 1,600 pages of evidence, including Pfizer contracts that have been leaked from other countries, the documents they tried to keep secret for 75 years that Pfizer tried to keep secret from the public, and 250 vaccine injury stories, including from people like Casey Hodgkinson, people like Brett and Chris Nairn, who lost Rory, and just, you know, so there's a lot of stories that are inside there. And so I sent that through to him and he wrote back and we had several emails back and forth, which was lovely. And he said, this is exactly the kind of evidence that we will be looking at in phase two. And thank you so much for sending it through. And if you have anything else, the public submission's open in January, but I'm going to forward this to the secretariat now so that it's in our pile of stuff to look through. So, and he seemed very positive about me presenting that kind of evidence. So I thought, that's good, you know, that was a good response. So, yeah, that opens for public submissions in the new year. So start thinking about it over Christmas. I've got a couple of different new submissions. One is on the suppression of art. One is on what I've gone through as a musician and what I've gone through as a publicist helping with some of the films that have come out during this period of time, like Silent, Silent No More, River of Freedom, We Came Here for Freedom. There's a lot of art created, a lot of musicians and art created, and how they were suppressed and how, you know, people, you know, organisations like DART, you know, it's quite interesting. I couldn't upload Memorial Day Silent No More when I was working on that. It couldn't go on any platform. And yesterday I put it on YouTube and it just went, 2 days ago, it went straight up and it stayed there. So now that disinformation DART organisation that was run through the Ministry of Health is disbanded, it's not there anymore.
It's not sending messages through to say stop this. Yeah. They're still putting the COVID tab under the videos on YouTube, you know, still promoting.
Yeah, they haven't done that to this one. I just put New Zealand documentary on it and just popped it up to see what would happen, and it stayed there.
AI didn't catch it.
No, and so I don't think it was AI doing it. I actually think it was them actually going in and looking at what was being uploaded and targeting various people.
Hopefully that'll come out too. Before you go, how can people sign this petition?
So we'll probably put a link, I guess, in underneath when this comes up for re-watching. But you can go to, I'm just going to check it, it's tinyurl.com/stopbigpharmaads. So tinyurl.com/stopbigpharmaads. If you type that in, it will come up and...
We'll share it.
And you'll be another person that signed it.
We'll share it out. I'll sign it.
Thank you.
I've just noted people are advising us that the chicken genocide is doubled now. It's 80,000. They're going to. 80,000.
Poor chickens.
I know.
Poor thing.
All right, Ali, thanks for the work you do. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Yeah. That's all right. I'm always looking for something extra to do and anything that we can do to just keep pushing back.
Yep, you said it. All right, have a great day.
Take care, Paul. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Ali Cook.
Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app.